Lord, in Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Amen. All right, well, let's take our Bibles, and young people, those of you who are in here with us, there's Bibles in front of you if you want to take one, and we're going to hold them up as soon as I get on point. There we go. Let's hold them up and say this together. This is my Bible. I am who it says I am, because the truest thing about me is what God says about me. And he says, he has made me to make a difference. He has made me to do good. And he has made me to love me. Awesome. All right. Well, this is family service, generation service this morning. And as I mentioned earlier, the kindergarten through sixth graders have been studying uniqueness, and how that comes out is translated this. They're discovering who God made them to be so they can make a difference. And I think it's fitting with our series here with the adults, talking about maturity, being on the road to maturity. And the road to maturity is the road to Christ-likeness. Is there any better way we can make a difference in this world than living Christ before other people? So I don't think so, and I think they wonderfully tie together here this morning. So let's conclude this series on maturity by going to Romans chapter 8, verse 29 and 30. This is God's word translation. God already knew his people and had already appointed them to have the same form as the image of his son. Everybody see that? God had known us before he even made us, and the goal was we would take on the same form as the image of his son. So isn't it fascinating with the young people down in Dallas when they're serving people and helping people who can't pay them back or give them money or do anything for them, how they're heightened and lifted and blessed? And that's because this is written not just in the Bible, this is written into us as human beings to take the form of Christ. Therefore, his son is the firstborn among many other children. He called those whom he had appointed, and God approved of those whom he called, and he gave glory to those whom he approved. So what this means is everything our Heavenly Father has done, church, he has done so we could be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. Everything he's done, calling you, glorifying you, filling you with his Spirit, all so that you can be conformed to the image of Christ. And so that like him, and like our Heavenly Father, we can live life full. And that we don't lack, we don't need people to treat us a certain way so that we can treat them a certain way. Okay, we want to live full. That's what Matthew 5:48 talks about when Jesus said, be perfect even as your Father in heaven is perfect. That word is complete or full, meaning your Father doesn't need people to behave a certain way for him to be who he's going to be. And that's the life that we've been promised in Christ. So I want to have some fun this morning because we have children with us. And we're going to look at 10 signs you're on the road to maturity. But I want to change it up a little bit. And we're going to say, you might be mature if. All right, you might be mature if. Number one, life's highs and lows don't affect your relationship with God. Listen to me. The mature are okay in the routine and the mundane. In other words, my relationship with God is not fluctuating now or diminishing because the glory's not falling. You know, there's people that will go all over town, church after church, meeting after meeting, chasing the glory of God. And yet, God says in John 17 that he's given me the glory of Christ inside of me. And so I don't have to feel Holy Ghost goosebumps. I don't have to feel his love to know and believe that I am loved. Does that make sense to you? So even when the glory is, quote, not falling, my relationship with God is not fluctuating because I'm living by truth, not by what I feel or by what I'm experiencing. So let's go to the other side of that spectrum. How about that you're grounded and you're still anchored even after great success? God's moving in your life. You tangibly are experiencing him. Maybe you go sky high on a Sunday morning in his presence and through worshiping him. But you know what? When your feet hit the ground, you walk out Christ. You don't get all deflated. You continue to live Christ. So you've heard me talk about the test of success. When things go well, that can be a test, just like when things are challenging. And we want to stay anchored and grounded, never getting too high or too low. Number two, you're at peace with situations beyond your control. Anybody watch the news lately? I mean, if you watch the news, you'd think the world is ending tomorrow. And while they're, you got to keep in mind, they're trying to sell viewership. You know, they're trying to generate advertisers and make money. What's crazy anymore is they don't even care if it's true. They'll call it news and just put it out there whether it's true or not, just to generate viewership and dollars. But even though these are tough times in America, we are not derailed by current events because we're full. We're living complete in Christ. How about this? The mature don't live and die every day with what goes on outside of them. Our source for happiness and joy is internal, not external. That is a mature person in Christ. And for the children, you know, we've been talking quite a bit these last few weeks, and you can ask your parents about it. But if little Johnny doesn't treat you the right way, that doesn't mean you have to treat him the wrong way as well. Okay? So we're talking about our joy and our conduct and our happiness is rooted inside, not based on what everybody else is doing to us. How about number three? You keep disciplines as a priority in your daily life. You might be mature if you keep disciplines as a priority. You know, as we grow in Christ, we want to set aside time. We want to make it a priority to walk and talk with Jesus. Can I get a witness? On a daily basis, we're practicing his presence. We're listening to him. We're walking and talking with Christ. We don't want church to be like a weekend prison visit. Amen. Right? Like, hey, Jesus, it's Sunday morning. How you doing? Must be time for visitation. No, we want to do all week with Jesus. We want to be walking and talking with him all week long. So the mature prioritize our relationship with Christ. We prioritize abiding in him each day, listening to him every day. And you may say, you know, I've never really understood spiritual disciplines, Steve, so what do you mean by that? Well, here's how I can help you. What you need to do is find what stirs your affections for Jesus and fill your life with those things. What stirs my affections for Jesus and fill your life with those things? Did you know there are some people that they don't read very well, they don't comprehend very well, they're just not big readers. I would not say to you, make sure you read the Bible 2 hours a day. What I would do is find out what trips your trigger where Jesus is concerned. Is it worship? You know, some people just come alive in worship. Well, then fill worship. Fill your life with worship. Let that be the cornerstone of your time with Christ. Some people do like to dig in the scriptures. Well, good on you. Then fill your time and priorities with that type of a discipline that I'm going to get in the scriptures. Whatever it may be that seems to heighten your love for him. How about serving others? You know, we have young people that went down to Dallas and figured out, I really love serving. Well, let that be a discipline in your life then. If that stirs your affections for Jesus, to serve people who can't pay you back, make that part of your spiritual disciplines. Amen. Amen. It's not that hard. Same with prayer or maybe giving generously to others. For me, I love spending personal time with Jesus. I'm okay reading the Bible, but I don't want to just open the Bible and just read for, you know, an hour at a time or whatever. I want to spend personal time with Jesus in his presence with a little bit of soft worship, soft music going on. Sometimes I don't even need lyrics, and I just want to reflect. I want to think about him. That's what stirs my heart for him, is just one-on-one time with him. And so I fill my life with that type of a discipline. Here's something else that I love. I hope this blesses you. I love searching out truth and things that'll help set you free as a child of God. I love finding things in Scripture or even hearing other teachers teach it, something that's going to enhance your love relationship with Christ. I love doing that. And so once I get them, once God gets them to me, guess what happens? He gets them through me. So that's part of my discipline. Let's go on to the next one. Let's go to number four. You might be mature if you maintain your childlikeness in faith and spirit. Now, we talked in this series, we don't want to be childish in our attitudes and actions. But we never want to lose our childlike faith or being childlike in spirit. And what I mean by that is, are you okay with laughing every once in a while? Are you okay with laughing at yourself every once in a while? Do you still celebrate a little bit? How about this? Do you see life as a gift? How about this? Do you still have a healthy innocence about you and your trust in God, even though you see things in life that try to produce skepticism? That's very important. Do you still have a healthy trust of God, or does skepticism and pessimism creep in? There's a spirit of skepticism in the United States of America right now at work, that everything that goes on, they can paint it so bad, everything so bad, that we would just be skeptical and throw our hands up. Not on my watch, I'm not going to. I believe in a God who's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and my trust is in Him. I don't care what I see out here. I'm trusting Him as a child trusts his father. All right, give God praise for that. Go ahead, give God praise. Let's do it right. You know, when you look at the children this morning during worship, they're just free. They don't care what anybody else thinks. They just express their love for Him. Do you know children have to be taught not to worship God? They have to be taught not to love God, any human being, especially children. So it's a delight to see. Let's go to number five. You might be mature if you don't compare yourself with others. In other words, you are comfortable with who you are in Christ. 2 Corinthians 10:12, for we dare not class ourselves or compare ourselves with those who commend themselves. But they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are what? Not wise. Not wise. Comparisonitis is a dreaded disease. And it's not just in the world, it's in the church. We have people who covet somebody else's gift, covet somebody else's talent or personality. Listen, this is what you need to do. Are you ready? You be you. Because you're the best you we have. There is nobody better at being you than you. So don't covet those other gifts or personalities. You be you. The spiritually mature will also look for their identity, value, and worth vertically in their relationship with God, not horizontally from everybody else. All right, let's go to the next one. Number six, you're always willing to learn. This is a fun one. Proverbs 27:17, New Century Version. As iron sharpens iron, people can improve each other. What a great translation. As iron sharpens iron, we can improve each other. So is your approach in life to always fix everybody else around you? Is your big focus the speck in your brother's eye or the telephone pole coming out of your eye? Is our goal to make sure everybody else is listening to us, or are we open to listen to other people? You may say, well, Pastor Steve, I'm the boss. I mean, I got to tell people what's going on and what we're doing and the values that we're adhering to. Okay, I get that. But do you allow your team that you're leading, do you allow them to hold you accountable to the same values? Or does it only go one way? I'm helping somebody. Even in the business world, if you're leading somebody and you're imparting values and culture to them, they need to give them permission to hold you accountable to the same values and culture of the team. Humility will do it. How about this? Are we spiritual police? Are we church police? Are we Bible police? Or are we passionate followers of Christ who learn and listen well? Learn and listen well. Do you know that hearing somebody else's viewpoint doesn't mean they're automatically right? Doesn't mean you're saying it's true because you chose to listen to what somebody else had to say. How can you even help somebody else if you never listen to what they're saying? If they are off, chances are they may not be. So being willing to learn means that you're willing to admit you've not arrived. Because listen to this, maturity is not the absence of weakness. It's the acknowledgement of weakness. The mature understand they have not arrived, they're not perfect yet after the flesh, therefore they're willing to learn. Amen. I'll amen myself on that. Let's finish up the last four. You might be mature if, number seven, you don't fear community and loving people. The mature don't fear loving people. We know it's messy. We know that Jesus is easy to love. It's the humans that are more challenging. We get that. But let me tell you this. The world should never out-community the church. The world should never out-love the church. Listen to me. A bar should never out-care the church. A club, a nightclub, should never out-relationship the church of Jesus Christ. The mature do not fear community or loving people. Guess what happens when we get in the relationship series? You get opportunities to forgive people. Now, you can say, I never want to go down that road again, and you can isolate yourself, or you can go in understanding this is an opportunity for me to be like Christ, who's forgiven me of a lot of things. We are not those people that say we love God and then turn around and hate our brother. We're not those people. 1 John says anybody that says they love God but hate their brother is a liar. We're not those people. We even talked about in this series, who wants to come to church and shout and praise God for how much he loves us unconditionally and amen that, walk out the door and love everyone else we know with conditions? We want to be that word we're celebrating, made human. The word made flesh. And relationships give us that opportunity. Faux show. Jesus said, by our love for each other, not love for God, but our love for each other, people will know we're his followers. Philippians 2:4, look out not just for your own well-being, but look out for the well-being of others. This is maturity. We even talked about last week, we have the mindset of shepherds, not just sheep. Shepherds are not solely concerned with themselves. Shepherds care about what happens to the flock. Amen. Let's keep going. Number eight, you might be mature if you live full and not in the lie of lack. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, but it's Matthew 5:48. I already touched on it. But the bottom line is, aren't you glad to know that because of Christ living full in and through you, that your actions and attitudes are not determined by the actions and attitudes of other people? That's good to know. You know, my lovely wife, Stacy, Friday night at our discovery group, told a story about her work environment, that when she went into this work environment, it was pretty cold. It was pretty cold. Not much friendliness there. Everybody just keeping to themselves. She didn't like it. She'd even thought, you know, Lord, am I even supposed to be here? And the Lord spoke to her and said, I want you to be Christ to all these people. All these people need to see who I really am. And so she made a decision that I'm going to go in there, and whether they're friendly to me, I'm going to sow friendliness, and I'm going to sow Christ, and I'm going to sow relationship with these people. And guess what began to happen? The cold began to melt. Isn't that wonderful? That's what it is to live full. She made a decision. I'm going in here to live full. I'm not going to go in determining and basing my actions on everybody else's attitude. All right, number nine. You might be mature if you understand God wastes nothing. This is huge, guys. Everything is usable in your Father's hands. Everything, the good, the bad, the ugly, it's all usable. He can redeem anything. I love that about him. Romans 8:28 says, God promises to work a few things, all things together for your good. Any circumstance in the natural can have a win or a loss tied to it. But in the Father's kingdom, everything can be a win. Think about that. Everything can be a win for the people of God. Even our failures can become successes to him because he can teach us how to overcome it. He can put seed in our hand to help somebody else not do what we did. Namely, our children. Amen. Romans 8:29. This is fun because Romans 8:28 says he causes all things to work together for our good. Verse 29 says he uses all things to conform us to the image of his son. That's where we started this morning. How many of you are married? How many of you, your marriage is perfect and nobody's ever made a mistake? Next sermon is on lying. Listen to this. This is so much fun. You thought you got married because you were in love. Let me tell you what your father's doing in your marriage. He is using it to conform you to the image of his son. You mean when she's ugly to me, he can use that? Yes. He is going to use that to cause you to live supernaturally and to reveal to your lovely spouse that Christ is bigger in you than he is out here in the world. Isn't that something? How many of you have children? God uses children to conform you to the image of Jesus. Everything that goes on, every mistake they make, every time they rebel against you, he can use it. I'm not saying he causes it, but he uses it to conform you to the image of Jesus. Crazy in-laws? Everybody's got some uncle, right? You're just praying to God he doesn't come this year. But guess what? He's on God's payroll now. And he's going to use Uncle Joe or whoever. If your name's Joe, I apologize. But he's going to use Uncle Joe to conform you to the image of his son. Think about this. What joy to know everything that happens, God can use to conform you to the image of Jesus. Everything. And marriage is a big one. Because, like I said, you thought you got married because you're so in love. And God got you married so he could kill you and conform you to the image of Jesus. Teach you selflessness. I do marriage counseling all the time, Sylvia. And I tell them, nothing God has invented. And can I get a witness? God invented marriage. All the way back to Adam and Eve. God invented family. He knows how it works. And nothing he invented works in selfishness. And he will use that tension and that struggle to conform you to the image that you're, the only image you're created to bear. Selfless, sacrificial, loving, and good, and kind, even when they're not. That makes you invincible. That makes us as Christians, listen, we can not only stand everything that happens to us then, we can use everything that happens to us to be conformed to his image. Somebody give God praise for that. Glory to his name. How about this? Here's another one. 2 Corinthians 1:4 says, God promises to comfort you in your time of difficulty so you can comfort others with the same comfort you receive. Even the struggles you go through, maybe you lose a loved one, maybe something hurtful happens to you, and God comforts you. He's going to take that situation and utilize that comfort he gave you to comfort others through you. He's unbeatable. He's invincible. I love it. Write this down. Luke 21:13. Jesus said, they're going to persecute you. They're going to throw you in jail because of me. Listen, but it shall all turn for you. Every bit of it will turn for you a testimony. Invincible. Invincible. All right, last one. Jeremy, you guys can come. You might be mature if you can deal with being overlooked and ignored. Let me speak to the children. Do they still play Red Rover, guys? Do you guys know what Red Rover is? Okay. It's a good game. Ask your grandpa about it sometime. But listen, kids, I don't know if you've ever been there, but when they're picking teams for a game or whatever, sometimes it hurts a little bit to be the last one picked. And we can relate to those that's happened. But let me tell you something. You got to understand, being overlooked and ignored is nothing new in the kingdom of God. Let me tell you about a young man named David. As a young man, the prophet of God comes to his house, talks to his dad about who might be in line to be king, and David doesn't even make his own dad's lineup. You know, when they're picking sides to play the game, he wasn't even available in his dad's eyes. But God went on to demonstrate that promotion doesn't come from man. Promotion comes from God. And David became king anyway. The mature can deal with being overlooked or ignored. Pride will say, I can't believe they didn't pick me. Humility says, my trust is in God. He does my putting up and setting down. He does the promoting, not a man. Be very careful of flocking after the approval of men. Because one day, yeah, it's Hosanna. The next day they're shouting, crucify. Be very careful clamoring after the approval of men. They can turn on you in a heartbeat. And let me say this. There's only one reason we ever become susceptible to wanting everybody else to accept and approve of us. And that's because we don't know how much our Heavenly Father has accepted us and approved of us in Christ. That needs to be our foundation and our core. Amen? Go ahead and stand with me this morning. You know, King David didn't fall out when he didn't make the lineup. He didn't cry foul and I'm a victim and woe is me. The mature in Christ are not victims. We're victors because our God does the putting up and the setting down. Our God does the promoting. Every head bowed and every eye closed. If you're here this morning and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior.
You've been listening to Grace Church, advancing God's kingdom, one heart at a time. For more, visit us online at gracechurch.community.